Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. You're listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, and it is our aim to lead you to the cross through the teaching of God's word.
Come break our culture, tear down our pride. Lord, take your church and purify. Oh, we are ready to stand in your love. Come, King Jesus, deliver us. Oh, my King is coming. Restless hearts, be still.
2 Chronicles chapter 31. We've already done a good half of this chapter, but I want to start from the beginning, just reading it so that we can have some context. And let's pray before we get into it. Father, we come before you, and again, Lord, we have our Bibles in our laps, and we're ready to hear from you. Lord, we love it that every time that we open up your word, you speak, and you speak clearly. You have things that were written down literally thousands of years ago, and they still apply to us today. And it's pretty wild, Lord, how alive and powerful your word is. And so as we're going through it, we just pray that you teach us the things that you have for us in those areas where we're walking strong with you. Lord, we just pray that you'd encourage us. And in those areas where we may be falling down and dropping the ball, Lord, we just pray that you would help us to walk with you in the way that you've called us to. We love you, Lord, and we just give this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Chapter 31, 2 Chronicles chapter 31, this is in the context of a revival. When Hezekiah comes into power, he's one of the last good kings of the nation of Judah. In fact, he's one of the last two good kings. And so it's Hezekiah and his grandson, Josiah, who are the last good kings of Judah before Judah goes into captivity and Judah specifically stops being a nation for over 70 years. And so this is kind of like the last hurrah, the last chance, one of the last chances for the people of Israel to come into a right relationship with God. And when Hezekiah goes at it, he goes at it wholeheartedly, and the guy just cranks. He does a really good job. And so he turns the hearts of the people back towards the Lord. There's a huge sacrifice that takes place. They celebrate the Passover, not 1 week, but for 2 weeks, because they're so excited about it. And God just turns the hearts of the people around, and it's because they had a leader in Hezekiah who loved the Lord. And in spite of the fact that his family did not, and he came from a situation where he was in a situation where previous kings had not been following God. So that's where we're at. So basically, Hezekiah goes through and he cleans out the temple. He remodels the temple in the sense of he brings it back into shape. He goes through and he cleans out all the false gods and all the idols out of the city of Jerusalem. And then what ends up happening is he celebrates Passover. He invites everybody in Judah to come to the Passover celebration. That's kind of like the Jewish Thanksgiving. And so he invites everybody in Judah to come to the Passover celebration, and all the people up in the northern kingdom of Israel to come to the Passover celebration also. And those are the leftovers after the Assyrians came in and fought with them. In any case, when we get to chapter 31, you basically have a situation where these people have turned towards the Lord, and so there's going to be some consequences that take place because they've turned towards the Lord. That's the way that it always goes. You give your life to Jesus, you give your life to God, and there are things that have to take place. There are changes that have to happen. There is no redemption without repentance. There is no forgiveness without confession. And when those things happen, a life changes. And not only, you know, obviously, if a single life changes and you have that multiplied by a nation, you literally have a national change that takes place. Something to keep in mind when we're talking about our own nation. You know, a lot of times what we're looking at is for the politicians to do something. And we're looking at, you know, people who are in elite places, whether we're talking about the school system or whether we're talking about the collegiate system or whether we're talking about corporations. We look at all these people that we think can make an effect on our planet and for our culture, and that is not the way that God does it. It's not usually a situation where it comes that way. What God usually does is he begins changing hearts one at a time. And so sometimes he starts from the bottom, changing hearts one at a time. Sometimes he starts from the top, changing hearts one at a time. But what he does is he changes hearts. And so my heart gets changed, my life gets changed. Your heart gets changed, your life gets changed. I start passing that around, and that's what's going to happen with everybody who's around me. And that's what a revival is. That's what takes place in the land of Judah. And so there are, again, situations that come up because of that. Let's start reading in verse 1. It says, "Now when all this was finished," and this is the celebration of the Passovers, "all Israel who were present went out to the cities of Judah and broke the sacred pillars in pieces, cut down the wooden images, threw down the high places and the altars from all Judah, Benjamin, Ephraim, and Manasseh." Ephraim and Manasseh are in the northern kingdom. Benjamin and Judah are in the southern kingdom. And so this is something that wasn't just confined to the nation of Judah. It went into the northern kingdom of Israel. "Until they had utterly destroyed them all, then all the children of Israel returned to their own cities, every man to his own possession." And so again, when God does a work in your life, there are practical changes that take place. Stuff that's in your house that is not of God gets taken out of your house. Stuff that's in your life that's not of God gets taken out of your life. And, you know, so that can be music, that can be media, that can be where you visit on the web. It can be all kinds of stuff. And so most of the time that I've been a pastor, and I've led a lot of people to the Lord, and when I see what God does in their life, the changes that take place are practical and you can see them. And so people who have been addicted to smoking, they go trash their ashtrays and dump the cigarettes, and they're not interested in being enslaved to a little paper tube with a bunch of dry brush in it. And so they don't want to do it anymore. And so God frees them from that. The same thing with drinking, the same thing with drugs. It's been the same situation my whole life as a Christian. Jesus changes lives, and you can see it. The things that they say, the attitudes that they have, those things turn around. And because of that, there are things that aren't allowed in their home anymore. There are things that they don't do anymore. And they start acting like what the Bible says a believer is supposed to look like. And that's what's happening with these people here. That's a situation when you come into a real live relationship with Christ. You can see it. S-E-E. You can see it. You can see the changes. And that's what we should obviously all be going for. Here's another change that took place, and we did this pretty thoroughly, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. But in verse 2, it says, "And Hezekiah appointed the divisions of the priests and Levites according to their divisions, each man according to his service, the priests and Levites for burnt offerings and peace offerings, to serve, to give thanks, and to praise in the gates of the camp of the Lord. The king also appointed a portion of his possessions for the burnt offerings, for the morning and evening burnt offerings, the burnt offerings for the Sabbaths and the new moons, and the set feasts, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Moreover, he commanded the people who dwelt in Jerusalem to contribute support for the priests and the Levites, that they might devote themselves to the law of the Lord. As soon as the commandment was circulated, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of grain and wine, oil and honey, and all the produce of the field, and they brought in abundantly the tithe of everything. And the children of Israel and Judah, who dwelt in the cities of Judah, brought the tithe of oxen and sheep, also the tithe of holy things, which were consecrated to the Lord their God, they laid in heaps. In the third month they began laying them in heaps, and they finished in the seventh month." So for 4 months this is going on. And when Hezekiah and the leaders came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and his people Israel. Then Hezekiah questioned the priests and the Levites concerning the heaps. This is heaps of stuff, food and that kind of stuff. And Azariah, the chief priest from the house of Zadok, answered him and said, "Since the people began to bring the offerings into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and have plenty left, for the Lord has blessed his people, and what is left is this great abundance." And so after the idols are taken out, what happens is Hezekiah goes to the situation that's taken place in the city of Jerusalem, his hometown, city of Jerusalem. He looks at the temple and he looks at the ministry that's supposed to be there. Now, he's already remodeled the temple. And so now what he wants to do is he wants to bring it up to speed as far as how ministry is supposed to be done there. And so what was always supposed to be taking place in the temple is that the priests were supposed to be offering sacrifices for the people. There were feast days where they did these major sacrifices, but every single day they offered sacrifices up for the people of Israel and for the sins of Israel and that kind of thing. And it was happening all the time. Well, up until this point, it hadn't been. And so what Hezekiah does is he brings it right back into a biblical norm. So for a long period of time, these people were Jews in name only. And at this point, there's been a revival. They've turned to the Lord, and they're not Jews in name only now. Hezekiah wants to make it a real thing. We serve and worship the Lord our God, and in His temple, there is prayer going up, there are sacrifices going up, there's incense being offered, and all those things pictured the sacrifices of Jesus. But he said, we're going to follow the Lord for real. And that's what he does. And again, same thing with us. There needs to be a reality in our walk with God. And so you come into a relationship with God, don't be satisfied with just having a relationship with God where it's a relationship in name only. I'm not just a Christian. I'm a Christian who's in love with Jesus and who follows him. When I was a young guy in construction, this is one of my old stories. I didn't know anything about Christianity. And so I didn't know about all, you know, I knew that there were denominations, but I didn't, you know, I kind of didn't know how all that stuff worked. And so my grandma took me to the Baptist church when I was a kid. That's the five times or so that I went to church. So I went to the Baptist church. So I knew about that. I had friends who were Catholics, so I knew something about that. I had other friends. Actually, that's all I really knew. I didn't know a whole lot about anything else. So I become a Christian, and I don't know what I am. I just think I'm a Christian, right? And so I'm on the job this one day, and I'm working for a Mormon. At the time, I knew the Mormons were different, okay? And so I'm witnessing to my Mormon boss. And so I'm on the job this one time, and a guy comes up, and he's a Christian. And so he comes up, and he's talking to me, and he figures out that I'm a believer, and he goes, so, you believe in Jesus? And I said, yeah. He goes, well, you know, what kind of believer are you? And I go, well, I'm a Christian. And he goes, what kind of Christian? And I go, I just sat there with, you know, kind of with my mouth hanging open. I don't know. And my boss, the Mormon guy, goes, he's a born-again, Bible-believing, Spirit-filled Christian. He knew exactly what I was, even if I didn't know what I was. And he was able to describe the whole thing. And it was because there was a change. People could see it. You see what I mean? There's stuff going on, and even if you don't know everything that's going on, people around you are going to be able to see it, and they can identify what's going on. And so, again, there needs to be a reality to this stuff, and so ministry needs to be done. What's supposed to be happening in your life is it comes into a biblical norm. It's not like it was in the world. It's not like it was before. It's not like it was when maybe you were a Christian in name only. It's a situation where there's a biblical norm in your home. We live by the Bible. We live by what the Word of God has to say. And when the Bible says that something is supposed to be done or something is not supposed to be done, then that's the way that it goes. That's what a biblical norm is. And so that's what was happening in this situation. Then, when he sets up the ministry there, he tells the people, okay, we need to be tithing here. And that was a commandment in the Old Testament law for the support of the priests. And that's a law that you had in the Old Testament. It's something that carries into the New Testament too. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it talks about those who are involved in ministry are supposed to be being paid by the ministry. And so a lot of that stuff goes from Old Testament to New Testament. And in this case, a tithe is a tenth. And I'm not going to get into that whole thing again because I covered it pretty thoroughly. But one of the things that happens at the very beginning is they begin giving. And when Hezekiah says, hey, we need to be giving here. We need to be giving to the work of the Lord. The people come in and they start doing it, and they do it willingly, and they do it in such ridiculous fashion that there is so much left over that there's just heaps of stuff laying around. And so these guys are basically in Israel, what you did was you tithed once a year. And so you waited to, you know, throughout the whole year. And at the end of the year, when you went to the feast days, you brought the tithe from your home for that whole year. And the tithe was a tenth of your animals, a tenth of your crops. You had the first fruits. When it talks about the first fruits of grain and wine, it's the idea that, well, there's a couple of different things that were going on there. There was what was called the Feast of First Fruits. But it was the idea that when you gave to the Lord, you gave first to Him. He wasn't the thing that you did last on your list of bills. He was the thing that you did first, and that was called the first fruits. You give the first fruits to the Lord. And when that happens, what ends up happening is the ministry there gets blessed in ways that they hadn't seen in probably hundreds of years by this point, in hundreds of years. And again, it's because people's hearts change. When you have a changed heart, it changes your life. And when you have a changed heart, and especially if you're talking about being a believer, when you have a changed heart, ministry becomes a huge thing to you. You want a biblical norm. And when you have a changed heart, you become somebody who doesn't care so much about yourself, but begins caring about other things, and especially about the things of God. And so that's what these people do. And the change that takes place in our lives is a personal change, in the sense that it's something that's taking place inside our hearts. And you know what? It doesn't get more personal than your wallet. It doesn't get more personal than your checkbook. It doesn't get more personal than your pocketbook. And that's one of the things that God goes after. I can tell what I love by looking at my checkbook. I can tell what I love, what I care about the most. I can tell what I care about the most by what I'm spending my goods on. And it's something to keep in mind, because we weren't put here on this planet to get bigger and better toys. We were put here on this planet to make an effect for the kingdom of God. And again, that's one of those things that you see in the life of these people specifically. And so it's one of those things that God's going to deal with you on if he hasn't dealt with you on it up until this point. He always goes after the finances, you guys. And you know what? I don't care. This is not something where I'm going to pass around the offering bag after this whole thing. But if you're a Christian, you need to be giving. And if you don't give, there's a problem. It doesn't work any other way. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And if all I'm about is me, 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 I, gimme, 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 there is a problem. And so we need to be paying attention to that whole thing. And I'm speaking from the point of view of somebody who didn't really appreciate it when I first read about tithing in the Bible. When I first read about it, when I found out a tithe was one tenth of your income, I was like, are you nuts? And again, I talked about it last time, so I'm not going to go into it, but it's because I was a poor boy. And so, I wasn't greedy in the sense of wanting other people's stuff, but I did want to keep mine because I worked for it. And so I wanted to keep it. And then I found out that the Bible says I'm supposed to be giving it away. You understand the principle of the tithe. It's the idea that God has given me everything I have. He's given it all to me. And so actually what I should be doing is giving it all back, because it's all his, right? But he allows me to have this, he allows me to work, and he allows me to have the ability to work, it says in the book of Deuteronomy. And so what I do when I'm tithing is I'm giving back a tenth as a statement that I'm thankful for everything that God's given to me. That's what the tithe was about. And so, again, it's something that we need to be paying attention to. Verse 11, it says, now Hezekiah commanded them. You know, one more thing I want to say about this, because I don't know if all of you were here last time. I hate it when people beg for money. I hate it when I see ministries begging for money. I don't like it. And you're never going to hear me begging for money. If I have needs, I'm not going to be bringing, as far as the church goes and that kind of stuff, I'm not bringing them to you. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go in my room, I'm going to close the door, I'm going to hit my knees, and I'm going to say, Jesus, will you help me? That's the way that it's supposed to go. And that's the way it's supposed to go for ministries too. And I understand why, I understand that some people don't get that, but I have never asked people in my fellowship for money for the ministry here. And there's a reason for that, and it's because I don't like it. I didn't like it before I was a Christian. I don't like it after I'm a Christian. And I'll, when I'm in a passage that teaches on giving, I'll talk to you about the principles of giving, because it's a good thing, and it's an awesome way to be able to check out the Lord and see if he's really there. Last time I talked about this, one of the points that I made is, if you're in a situation where you don't know if God is real, you don't know if God's working in your life, you don't know if God really cares about you, start tithing. You're going to find out. It's the only place in the Bible. This is the only issue in the Bible where God says, you can test me on this one. You can check me out on this. If you will come and bring in the tithes and you will bring in the offerings, you see if I don't open a window in heaven that, and pour out on you a blessing that you won't be able to contain. And it's one of the places where God makes a promise of provision for us. It's just the really coolest thing. And that has been the case in my life. And, you know, I've been tithing since I was a young believer, a long time. And God has always provided for me. I keep getting fatter every year, you know, unless I want to lose weight. You know, God has always provided for me. God has always taken care of me. And a lot of times he's done it just miraculously. And I have no doubt that God's real. I have no doubt that God works in my life. And it still continues to be that situation to this day because I give to the Lord. And I'm not doing that to brag. I'm doing that to let you know everything that God says about the whole giving thing to him is absolutely true, and you can trust him on it. And it's a cool thing to do. And, you know, it's one of those things that God deals with in believers' lives. So maybe you're going through some financial hardship and that kind of thing right now. There's a passage in the book of Haggai that says you go out and you make wages. And it seems like you come home, bring your wages, you put them in your pockets, and your pockets have holes in them. You know, you come in and you collect much, and God comes along and blows it all away. And what Haggai says is it's because you put the focus on your home instead of his kingdom. And when you take that focus and flip it around, God promises to provide for you. We're going to talk about that a little bit more later on in the passage. It goes on in verse 11, it says, "Now Hezekiah commanded them to prepare rooms in the house of the Lord, and they prepared them." In other words, you got to do something with all this stuff. You got heaps of stuff sitting out here, so go make some storerooms. And so they go and make storerooms. Then they faithfully brought in the offerings, the tithes, and the dedicated things. Conaniah the Levite had charge of them, and Shimei his brother was the next. Then it names some other guys, Jehiel, Azaziah, Nahath, Asahel, Jeremoth. I'm not going to read all these guys. Anyway, they were all overseers under the hand of Conaniah and Shimei, his brother, at the commandment of Hezekiah the king and Azariah, the ruler of the house of God. Kor, the son of Imnah, verse 14, the Levite, the keeper of the east gate, was over the freewill offerings to God to distribute the offerings of the Lord and the most holy things. And under him were Eden, Miniamin, Jeshua, and these other guys, his faithful assistants in the cities of the priests, to distribute allotments to their brethren by divisions to the great as well as the small. And what's being spoken about there is the fact that the Levites weren't just in the city of Jerusalem. They were in outlying cities all throughout Israel. These are teaching priests. These are guys who are supposed to be doing ministry among the populace of the people of Israel. And so what these guys are doing is taking the abundance that God's given in the city of Jerusalem and passing it out to the brothers who are in other places. And so that's a cool thing. Again, verse 15 at the end, his faithful assistants in the cities of the priests to distribute allotments to their brethren by divisions to the great as well as the small. Besides those males from 3 years old and up who were written in the genealogy, they distributed to everyone who entered the house of the Lord his daily portion for the work of his service by his division. And it specifically mentions children in the passage, 3 years old and up. The reason it starts from 3 years old and up is because in Jewish culture at the time, they were breastfeeding their kids up to the age of 3 years old. And so from that point on, then they would give them solid food. And so the kids are in on the provision that takes place here. You know, one of the issues that you have in this passage is the fact that these guys had been serving the Lord and they were in a position where they were offering their lives up to God, and it had to do with the whole priesthood in the Old Testament, but they're still offering their lives up to God. And what God does is he takes care of them and he takes care of their children too. And it's something to keep in mind. Because when I serve the Lord, what God promises to take care of is not only me, but he promises to take care of my wife. And he promises to take care of my kids, too.
You've been listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington. If you're wanting to know more about what it means to follow Christ, then please contact our church office by phone at 509-736-2086. You can also look us up online at calvary-tricities.org. There you will find a wide variety of Steve's teachings to listen to or to download for free. If you want to join us for church sometime, we're located at 10611 West Clearwater Avenue in Kennewick, Washington. Our Sunday service times are 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. We hope you have been blessed today and will join us again next time on Crosswalk.